Good morning. Well, it is good to see everybody on this nice, wonderfully not so hot Sunday morning. It was 58 degrees this morning in Blue Ridge. I almost needed a sweater. Not quite, but almost. Football season's about to start, so life has hope. We have some announcements here together as church. The silent auction is coming up on Sunday, September the 10th, during the second Sunday fellowship dinner. I don't know what all is being offered, but I do know that the proceeds are going to go to help defray the costs of our new Christmas tree. So that will be a whole lot of fun, and I'm sure there will be some things you can take home with you that you never knew you needed. Such is the joy of silent auctions. It's time for special groups that you may have been missing. The dinner groups are being reformed. Is that like what we used to call a supper club? Yeah. We used to kind of go around to people's homes and see what specialty they were cooking. Sometimes they were very delicious offerings, and sometimes not so much. But we will. One of the professional hazards of being a pastor is you have to eat a little bit of everything. And I am sure that somewhere in my diet over the last 40-something years, there has been something from the Roadkill Cafe. So there will be four options this time around. And see the midweek news for more information. The Congregational Life Team wants everybody to stop by the Martin House Library. There's a basket there, and you can mail a card to a church member who is in need of prayer and support. The cards are there. All you have to do is address it, stick it in the little box outside of Aaron's office. We will even pick up the postage, so you don't need to shell out any money for this, and it's a great way to support some of our members. We are also inviting you to volunteer to help with Saturday Snacks. It is a food insecurity ministry that packs bags with food for students to take home over the weekends who otherwise might not have a good meal during the weekend. So come and be a part of that. Check with Alice Inslee for more information. The next date is the Tuesday the 29th. I notice we're kind of listing to port over here. Is there something wrong with these seats over here? Y'all just want to be close to the donuts out there, don't you? Yes. I am not deceived by your placement of your bottoms, so be ye thereby admonished. Any other announcements? Oh, we will not have soup and scripture tomorrow. A lot of our people are all together going to France, and I have never known people who would leave the country to avoid a study, but behold, here we are. Any other announcements in our life together? We are blessing the backpacks during the children's time this morning, so be prepared and awake to take part in that. Let us come and worship the Lord together. The peace of Christ be with you all.
stand for the call to worship. We are here to worship, to find ourselves in service to God.
We are here to seek and to listen to the voice of God's truth.
We are here to open ourselves to kingdom opportunities and possibilities.
We are here to find our true focus and rejoice in our salvation. Let us worship God.
And let us pray. With humble and hurting hearts, O Lord, we approach your mercy seat. Wash us clean of our sins and dry us in the warm towels of your tenderness. Set us afresh on the path of obedience and service, that we may honor you in all that we do and glorify your name in all that we say. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In humility and faith, let us confess our sins together, first in silence. And together we pray. Speak to us again, O Lord, of your amazing love which cleanses us and redeems us, even when we are unaware. Declare your mercy in our dreams and enlighten your paths in our days. Help us to amend our ways and grasp your grace, that we may be fitted for service whenever you call. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. Christ prays for us. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Thanks be to God. As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Eternal God, whose word silences the shouts of the world, quiet within us every voice but your own. Speak to us through the embracing love of Jesus Christ, that we may receive his grace and live in his hope. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning is from the book of Genesis, chapter 45. Listen for God's word. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, "Send everyone away from me." So no one stayed with him when Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard it, and the household of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. For God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land for these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over all the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son, Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty. And now your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my own mouth that speaks to you. You must tell my father how greatly I am honored in Egypt and all that you have seen. Hurry and bring my father down here." Then he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept, while Benjamin wept upon his neck. And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Romans, chapter 11. Listen for God's word. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. This is the word of the Lord.
you, choir. If that didn't do something for your heart, no, we're not even going to check your pulse. We're going to go on and call the funeral home, come pick you up, because you are cold blue and graveyard dead. All right, thank you so much. All right, our scripture lesson, our gospel lesson for today is taken from the gospel according to St. Matthew. We are reading from the 15th chapter, verses 21 through 28. Hear the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he did not answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed instantly. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, we are filled with compassion and perhaps a bit of shame, for we see ourselves in these stories. We find ourselves in your miracles. Sometimes, Lord, we feel like we're food for the children, and other times we're just crumbs for the dogs. But in your providence, you know what is best, and you call us to celebrate you with love and graciousness and gratitude. And so we do. Amen. Three lessons of good news. Good news. Joseph in Egypt, having risen to the highest ranks, is now able to welcome his brothers and his father into the house of prosperity, even in the midst of famine. They never saw it coming. These are the brothers, you remember, who beat him up, sold him into slavery, tore up his coat of many colors, and covered it in sheep's blood, and took it back to his father and said, "A lion has gotten a hold of Joseph." Well, never mind that lions don't live in that region. It made for a good story. But that's not really the story. God is seldom done with his people just in the snap of a finger. We all know the story, how he went into Egypt, how he was sold there, he was a slave, he made it up into middle management, and then Pharaoh's wife accused him of sexual indiscretion, and back into prison he went. And once again, he started interpreting dreams, and he rose again far into Pharaoh's household and became the vizier of Egypt, lord of all the lands save Pharaoh. And he was able to bring his brothers and his father into that place of hospitality. Good news. God takes what seems on the surface to be tragedy and has a way of turning it into blessing. In the same way, in our epistle lesson for today, Paul answers the question which has echoed down through the centuries: will the Jews go to hell? Yes, people still ask that. They don't read Paul's letters very closely, do they? Has God forsaken his people? Of course not. God is not in the business of unchoosing the chosen. The Jews are still the people of the covenant. And truth be told, much to the despair of many within the Christian community, we are the heirs of the Jewish faith. We are the New Testament expression of Judaism. We are just the people who read the back of the book. Yeah, think about that for a second. Unless you're reading it in Hebrew, in which case it's the front of the book. Well, good news. God does not unchoose the chosen. And nothing they can do will remove the love of God from them. And then in our gospel lesson for today, good news. Jesus and the disciples have gone to the region of Tyre and Sidon. In case you didn't know, that's outside the parameters of Orthodox Judaism in that day. They are in the land of the Canaanites. You remember the Canaanites from the Old Testament. They're the ones who regularly whooped up on the Hebrews, and the Hebrews returned the favor by whooping up on them. And so there was still a degree of animosity, kind of like the North and the South still feel about the Civil War. Some people date civilization from the end of the Civil War. My grandparents were some of those. Granddaddy could not stand anybody from the North. He took the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal just to read the obituaries. That's a man who doesn't like Yankees. Thankfully, we are moving beyond those days of animosity, most of us. They're in the land of the foreigners. And here comes a Canaanite woman who acknowledges Jesus as Lord. How can she do that? How did she even hear about Jesus? What does she think about this prophet from Galilee and Jerusalem and Nazareth coming now into the foreign land, the land of the Auslanders? How does she know the first thing about him? And I've got an answer for you, and that answer is desperation. Desperation is a very fine motivator for opening the borders of our minds and examining possibilities we never knew could be possible. And she comes up to Jesus and she's crying after him, Son of David. Now that is a title. That is a title no Canaanite would ever allow to pass their lips. But here, out of desperation, she does. Son of David, Lord, my daughter is ill with a demon. And Jesus doesn't answer her a word. Jesus is fully God, but also fully human. I do not pretend to know the mind of God nor the mind of Jesus. But were I in the place of Jesus, I might have reacted the same way. You're not one of mine. You're a Canaanite. You live on the other side of the tracks. I'm not called to minister to you. I'm called to minister to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. It's not time for you yet. Go away. It may never be time. But she keeps on. Oh, the disciples are mad. They are ticked off. Here's this woman screaming after them. Maybe she's the one with the demon. We can't tell. But Lord, send her away. And instead he turns to her and he says, it's not right to take children's food from the table and give it to the dogs. And she's not about to be deterred. This woman has what is known in Yiddish as chutzpah. Chutzpah. Incipient vomiting, okay? She has guts. And she comes right back at him and says, "Yes, Lord, that's true. But even the dogs get to eat the crumbs that fall from the table." She's saying here, "I don't need a lot. I just need a little bit. I need just a crumb of grace to heal my daughter, and all will be well." And Jesus admires her. She's not giving up. She is not giving up. Why not? Well, first of all, she's got a daughter she's terribly worried about. But second of all, I suspect that she knows it's not right to settle for less when you're designed for more. Let me repeat that. It's not right to settle for less when you are designed for more. Jesus grants her request, but it goes far beyond just the simple exorcising of a demon. In granting her request, Jesus brightens and blesses her entire life. You see, God's grace is never just a pebble in a pond. There are always ripples that go out far beyond it. Radioactive grace, you might call it. There's always more than just the miracle itself. She was willing to settle for less, but she was designed for so much more. Let me suggest that the same is true of us. We will often settle for just a crumb of grace when God has designed us for so much more. Our destinies lie out there in the future. And the one thing I can promise you is that there are miracles out there that you will not perceive, but will be there nonetheless because you were designed for more than just making it from today to tomorrow. And because of that, we dare, like that Canaanite woman, to come before Jesus, to come before God, to implore the Holy Spirit, "Lord, use me as you would, because I am designed for more. Help me not to settle for less." These are three of the most powerful passages in all of Scripture. Good news on all fronts. And today, in this climate, we need good news. We need joy. We need laughter. We need a sense of perspective to put history in its proper setting. We do not need to be anxious of what's going to happen this week, next year. We do not need to be anxious about the political warfare that is going on. We need to settle ourselves that we are designed for more than just making it through the next season. We are designed to be creatures created by God, fulfilling God's destiny for us. What's that destiny going to be? I have no idea. Joseph had no idea when he was beaten up and sold into slavery what the future would hold. But when the future came, he grasped it and sensed that God was already there hard at work. Saul of Tarsus had no idea what the future was going to hold as he was persecuting the early church. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of his trip, Jesus interrupted his itinerary and said, "Why are you persecuting me?" He never saw that coming, but it came. The Canaanite woman who woke up that morning, doubtless tearful and afraid of what was happening with her daughter, had no idea what would really happen when she went up to this itinerant prophet from the other side of the tracks. But she did know, if I don't try, I know nothing will happen. We are people of faith. We don't know what the future holds, but we do know we dare not settle for less when we are designed for more. And so we go out of this place with courage and faith and hope, and yes, maybe even a bit of laughter. You know what Martin Luther said? When Christians laugh, the devil flees. I like that. Particularly coming from a guy who was not known to be one of the joy boys of the faith. Martin Luther had kind of a dour outlook on everything. And we suspect it's because he suffered terribly from hemorrhoids. That will change the way you look at life. Well, that's probably more than you really wanted to know, isn't it? I am full of little bits of historical insight that you might just as soon not know. Don't settle for less when we're designed for more. Go out in courage, knowing that God is already ready to meet you there, no matter where you or I are on the paths of our lives. He is not done. We dare not think he is. Don't settle for less. Know that you are designed for more. Let us pray. Eternal God, with grateful hearts we come before you, knowing that you stand out there on the cusp of the future, calling us to meet you for tasks we are not aware of yet. So help us to look to you, who will not only call us, but equip us generously for all you want us to do, and keep us always in your grace. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning is taken from the Scots Confession, a uniquely Presbyterian expression of faith. If you read the entire Scots Confession, it gets pretty rough at times. But then again, most Highland Scots were not exactly a gentle people. They were strong in their commitments, in their faith, and in their expression thereof. So let us unite ourselves in our heritage and declare together, children of God, what do we believe? We confess and acknowledge one God alone, to whom we must cleave, whom alone we must serve, whom only we must worship, and in whom alone we put our trust, who is eternal, infinite, immeasurable, incomprehensible, omnipotent, invisible, one in substance, yet distinct in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, by whom we confess and believe all things in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, to have been created, to be retained in their being, to be ruled and guided by his inscrutable providence, for such end as his eternal wisdom, goodness, and justice have appointed, and to the manifestation of his own glory. As we believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, so we firmly believe that from the beginning there has been, now is, and to the end of the world shall be, one kirk, that is to say, one company and multitude of men chosen by God, who rightly worship and embrace him by true faith in Christ Jesus, who is the only head of the kirk, even as it is the body and spouse of Christ Jesus. The kirk is Catholic, that is universal, because it contains the chosen of all ages, of all realms, nations, and tongues, be they of the Jews or be they of the Gentiles, who have communion and society with God the Father and his Son, Christ Jesus, through the sanctification of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The last time I recited that, it was at Flint River Presbytery. We were having a gathering of all the churches, and we had a kirking of the tartans. Have y'all ever done that here? Yeah. And I was not part of the worship team. I was just an innocent bystander. And I got next to an older gentleman who was well into his 90s. And I had to kind of help him stand up and walk down the aisle for communion and walk back. And they played, Skyboat Song and other wonderful Scottish tunes, Be Thou My Vision. And finally they got to Scotland the Brave as everybody was marching out and the banners were flying and the kilts were swirling and the pipes were playing. And he looked over at me, he said, it just makes my blood boil again. Makes me want to go out and hack an Englishman to death. And I looked at him and he said, well, in Jesus' name, of course. Let's unite our hearts and minds together in prayer before the Lord. Lord, in this company, we find love, acceptance, affirmation. We come here, O Lord, to celebrate all that is good about your creation. We thank you for this fellowship and ask that you would continue to be with us in spirit, in hope, in guidance, and in love. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we live in a time which beyond these walls does not always recognize your goodness or your grace. And we leave this place to go and bear witness to that which you are and that which you call us to be. Help us to be faithful demonstrations of your kingdom, Lord, in your mercy. Lord, we pray for all of our leaders, those who are elected and those who are yet to be elected. We ask that you would give them the wisdom of your Holy Spirit and guide us into the future in ways of peace and justice and hope, Lord, in your mercy. And send us forth, Lord, with hearts that are not afraid to laugh, with souls that are not afraid to love, with senses of your presence that will help us to change the world wherever we may live, Lord, in your mercy. And Lord, we are bold to offer the prayer which our Lord taught us himself. And he said, when we pray, we are to pray boldly, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us receive our tithes and our offerings as we present them to the Lord. Wonderful you are, O Lord, for seeing to our needs and our wants. Help us to express our gratitude by returning unto you a portion of that which you first gave us. May these gifts be multiplied by your grace, and may our hearts be strengthened in the giving. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Christ is risen, shackles unloosed, celebrate this day of days. Christ is
go out from this place in peace, knowing that you need not settle for less when God has designed you for more. More to receive and more to give, more to share and more to grow. Go forth in the knowledge that God has called you mightily into his fellowship. And now may the grace, the mercy, and peace of God the Father, who created us, God the Son, who came down to be among us, and the grace of the Holy Spirit, which is sufficient for us all, be with us one and all now and forevermore. Amen.